This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. During this year's spring election, voters in La Crosse County and Vernon County will voice their opinions on the idea of a nonpartisan method for deciding legislative districts in the state. The advisory referendum won't directly affect the legal battle that's gone on for years over Wisconsin's current district map. But the League of Women Voters, which proposed the referendum, say it will gauge local support for the idea of a nonpartisan redistricting group, which Democratic Governor Tony Evers proposed in his state budget. Joining us to talk about the referendum are Ellen Franz, board member for the local chapter of the League of Women Voters, Maureen Friedland, member of the La Crosse County Board, and Bill Feehan, former La Crosse County board member and chair of the 3rd Congressional District Republican Party. Ellen, I want to start by having you explain why the League of Women Voters, wanted to have this advisory referendum put on the April 2nd ballot.
It's been a long-held position of the League of Women Voters statewide to support nonpartisan redistricting. It has been a formal policy since 1970s. Discussion and approval actually started in 1930s. We're having our 100th anniversary coming up, so we've been around a long time. Whatever party is in control of the State House, the League believes it's important that redistricting be done in a manner that provides accountability, transparency, and therefore should get better voter participation in elections. I mean, the goal is really to do it in a better way so we maximize participation in government, not minimize it.
Has this issue been brought forward in the way that it has currently is with Governor Tony Evers, proposing this in his state budget? Has Wisconsin seen this idea brought to the table in this way in the past?
Well, if I remember correctly, the last couple legislative cycles, there have been bills introduced for nonpartisan redistricting. Now, when you propose bills and you're in a minority, the chances of having a public hearing or having those bills move forward anyway is very small or non-existent. So this is a method by which citizens can let their legislatures, state government, know what they wish. And actually, there have been 42 counties, including La Crosse, which the county boards passed a resolution, and 6 counties have had an advisory ballot. And that's just saying this is what the citizens want, and it is advisory. We can't direct the legislature to do anything, unlike California and some other states. And what we've learned is that majorities in those 6 counties support nonpartisan redistricting. A Marquette poll done recently showed that 72% of citizens polled preferred a nonpartisan method of redistricting. And that included 63% of Republican-leaning folks and 83% of Democrat-leaning folks. So the numbers in the support are there. And we simply hope that La Crosse County, Vernon County will add our voices to, hey, do this in a different way, legislators. Let's not keep repeating over and over the bad things that have happened over the years. I'm not blaming any particular party because it happens whichever party is in power. It just doesn't work very well.
Maureen, why did the county board approve this referendum as part of the April 2nd election?
Yes, well, we had two events. We had first a resolution that was just for the county board to indicate that we felt that redistricting should be nonpartisan, and that was brought forth by myself and a gentleman on the board who in his own life, on his own time, is a member of a different political party than I customarily am with, and indicating that there were two different views, two different people coming from two different places. And we brought a resolution to the county board to ask for nonpartisan redistricting, and that passed unanimously. However, it doesn't end there, even though Ellen said, I think 42 or 46 different counties in the state also brought similar resolutions. We wanted to bring the issue to the people, and so we had another resolution that came before the board, and that was to put the item on the ballot in April. And that also passed unanimously. So everyone on the board, our nonpartisan board, agreed with that. What happens in the legislature affects what happens on the local level. And we're concerned that we have a government that represents all of the people and that on a local level, our decisions are decisions that can be good for the local level and not all of the decisions coming out of Madison that may come out of a legislature that is strong on certain things and not so much on other things. We found there's a lot of matters for local control that we need to be concerned about, whether it's environmental regulations or whether it's placement of cell towers or education and what kind of referendums. These are all factors that are influenced by Madison. So what happens in Madison makes a big deal of difference on a local level. And frankly, on the county board, we felt like there were decisions that we needed to be making that we weren't able to make because of decisions in Madison. And we felt as though we needed to have local control, and that goes back to having elections that are transparent and open, where everybody votes and where they're competitive. So that's why we're so concerned about how the redistricting works.
And do you know of other counties aside from La Crosse and Vernon that are having this on the spring election ballot?
I don't know that anyone else has it this spring. The counties that have passed it are ones that tend to lean towards Democratic voters and Republican voters. Eau Claire, Lincoln, Sauk, Outagamie, Winnebago, Dane has passed it. So I think it's just La Crosse and Vernon this spring, though.
Yeah, Ellen, I wonder if you have any other insights.
No, Maureen is correct. There are six counties that have had it on the ballot so far. Dane County quite early in April of 2014. Four counties, Eau Claire, Sauk, Winnebago, and Lincoln, last November, when there was, of course, a high turnout election given the races. And as I said earlier, the numbers of support for nonpartisan redistricting in the counties that have done this, 82%, 74%, 72%, 69%, 65%. Clearly, you know, more than a majority of voters who look at this question want the process to change.
Bill, you are opposed to this idea of introducing a nonpartisan agency to handle redistricting. And I wonder if you can kind of explain your position.
Well, the process for redistricting is a political process that's laid out in the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin. And so it is the elected representatives of the people who decide, you know, what the drawing of the boundaries is like. And there are decades of well-established law when the legislature and the governor can't agree on a map that come into play. So things like minority voting districts in cities, that's part of the Voting Rights Act. So you can't divide minority groups, whether they be Hispanic or African American. And there also has to be sensitivity to not dividing groups of voters with common community standards. So the current lawsuit, which was sent back from the U.S. Supreme Court, was sent back on the basis that the litigants didn't have standing. And since then, Democrats in the state assembly have withdrawn from the lawsuit. I guess the question is, can anybody demonstrate harm from the current maps and form of redistricting? And I think there's ample evidence that that is not a problem. So all we have to do is go back to the last two major elections. In 2016, Donald Trump carried 59 of 72 counties in Wisconsin, even though he won by a fraction of a vote, less than 1%. Likewise, in this most recent election, Governor Walker carried 54 of 72 counties. So it is beyond obvious that Republicans are going to control a larger percentage of seats in the state legislature. And more than that, if we look at Southwest Wisconsin, the 12 counties in Southwest Wisconsin, only one of the very smallest voted Republican, in that the voters in those districts elected three Republican assemblymen and a Republican state senator. So those were all counties where Governor Evers prevailed. Right here in La Crosse County, Steve Doyle, a Democrat, was reelected to a Republican-leaning district in the 94th Assembly District. So I think that this issue is politically motivated in a lot of ways. It seeks to delegitimize the victories that Republicans have won in the state legislature. And I would point out that the majorities that we have right now were first elected in 2010 under maps that had been drawn by Democrats. Republicans went from 46 seats in the state assembly to 60 seats. We presently hold 63 seats. And this has more to do with shifting voter preferences for party. So if we look just north of La Crosse to the 92nd Assembly District and the 24th State Senate District, those are districts that had been held by Democrats for over 40 years. And yet a Republican was elected there in 2016 in the 92nd. It just reelected last fall. And so this has more to do with changing voter preferences and with the way that voters are distributed in the state. So part of the reason that Democrats don't have as many seats in the legislature is because their voters are highly concentrated in urban areas. So Mrs. Franz mentioned the overwhelming percentages of votes in these referenda. Well, those are being conducted in counties that are in urban centers and that are already overwhelmingly Democrat voting areas. So if we were to do a statewide referendum where everybody voted, I don't think you would see anywhere near those levels of support for redistricting. And I don't think there's really been much opportunity for people to hear the other side of the story. So I would just point out that I don't believe that there is any nonpartisan anything. And the last time we did redistricting here in La Crosse County, which is supposedly a nonpartisan process, I was one of the people who was redistricted out of my county board district. All of the people who were conservative and independent members of our county board were forced to run against each other after the redistricting. And I think most people realize that our county government is overwhelmingly controlled by people with Democrat affiliations, and our county board is run by Democrats. So it's not a nonpartisan process.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about an advisory referendum on the April 2nd ballot, asking voters whether they're in favor of a nonpartisan redistricting process. We're here with Bill Feehan from the 3rd Congressional District Republican Party, Ellen Franz from the League of Women Voters, and Maureen Friedland from the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Maureen, I just want to give you the chance to respond to a few of the issues that Bill brought up. And I know we're going to dig more into some of the issues that he said, but, you know, I just want to give you the opportunity to respond.
Okay, well, I will start with the last thing that Bill said about our county board being more on the partisan side. It isn't. We have a very nonpartisan board. We have members who are politically involved, some who aren't politically involved. We come together, we research issues, we make decisions. Most often our decisions are highly majority, with most people voting the same way, no matter their political persuasions. I was on the county board at the time that Bill is speaking about, and we had a very, very fair process. The maps were drawn by someone in the mapping department. The county board members didn't see them until the end. We had public meetings. We had a group of people working on figuring out the lines. And there was no such thing as putting the conservative members in the same district. In fact, I was placed in a district with another incumbent whose political leanings are rather my own. And many other people were placed with incumbents. So Bill had the opportunity to run against someone else and chose not to. So I would say just emphatically that our county board is very well balanced in what we do when we make decisions. But let's go back to the gerrymandering points. So first of all, he spoke about the Wisconsin Constitution. The Wisconsin Constitution talks about contiguous and compact districts, but you can have districts that are violative of the principles of fair representation even that way. And we aren't talking about a county system versus the rest of the state. We don't go by the number of counties that voted in a particular way. Bill said that, I believe, 59 counties voted for Republicans but that isn't determinative. We have our districts that are divided not on county lines. The way prior to 2010, we had pretty much a split government in Wisconsin. We had split legislature, or the governor was a different party, and the maps worked out okay. Often they had to go to courts, but even after the court process, they worked out basically fair. But in 2010, and that was a big year. That was the year that many, many Republicans were elected to the legislature. It said that year people voted on ideas. After that, when the districts became allocated and gerrymandered, the decisions were made more on the lines, where the lines were drawn, not the lay of the land. So we have a situation now where a minority of Republicans have a majority of seats. So to take total control by the Democrats, more than 50% of the votes would be needed. More like 55% of the votes would be needed because of the way that the lines are drawn. And look at the last election there in 2018. There were no incumbents that were put out of office. There was a situation in one of the counties where someone elected in a special election didn't retain his seat, but all of the incumbents stayed. The assembly and the Senate basically didn't change, even though there were more Democratic voters. So we came to a place where, because of the extreme secrecy in drawing the lines, and really the laser-like precision that the computers can do these days in pinpointing where the voters are and putting them into certain districts, and the redrawing of the lines was done in secrecy with different maps and a political scientist who came out of Oklahoma who did different kinds of models to figure out where, if the exact line went in this place or in that place, it would influence. There was a deliberate attempt to figure out how many votes would be needed in order to turn a district to Republican. And that's what we're dealing with now. And people are dismayed. The races aren't competitive. Most seats aren't challenged. There's the belief that your vote doesn't count. So we need to have a different way. And we don't really even need to argue that much about the numbers. We really need to talk about the values behind what we want? Do we want to be in a numbers game? Do we want our decisions to be driven by computers that draw the models? Or do we want to have openness? Do we want to have transparency? Do we want to have public hearings? Do we want to have an opportunity for the district lines to be discussed? At the last procedure, the maps were done in secret. The Republicans were given opportunity to know what was going on. The bill was introduced to the floor. There was a very perfunctory public hearing about 2 days later, and it was signed and it was voted on about a week or 10 days after that. That's not the way that we need to do it. We need to make sure that that the lines are even and competitive, where people will have a reason to want to come out and vote and not think that their officials are picking them rather than they're picking their own officials.
Ellen, do you feel like the redistricting process the last time around was different than what we've seen in previous years?
It was very different. Let me go back, though, to something that Bill Feehan said. You know, it is a legislative prerogative to draw the lines. And when we elect our legislatures to do that, that's one of their jobs. And he is absolutely right that it's a constitutional thing. And frankly, I would hope that as we travel down this road and garner more support for nonpartisan redistricting, that we get to the point where we really make a change in our Constitution. Because then the next party in power, whoever they might be, can't change the law, right? That's what happens in the current time. So the last time around, I think numbers are one thing, and you can argue numbers different ways, and you kind of get lost in what's really important, I think, as Maureen was alluding to. What's important is a process. It's not just where you end up. It's how you go about doing the redistricting, drawing the lines, and making it open to people, having public hearings, not just one quick one, but maybe in different places in the state. I know that people listening are probably well aware how secret it was the last time around, where even Republican legislatures, this is all court testimony, were brought into a room and could see what their district looked like, but they didn't have any idea of the whole. And of course, the Democrat legislators weren't brought into the process at all. And it was a slam dunk, given the composition of the legislatures and our Republican governor. This is not how it should look. I mean, if we want people to buy into that a system works and the system is for them, that the people choose who's going to be elected, then there should be an open, transparent road to travel to redistricting. And that's what states who have nonpartisan redistricting do. They have public hearings, they have input, they have a process. It doesn't happen the way it happened in 2011. I'm also going to disagree a little bit on the partisanship thing. I can agree in part that sometimes it's difficult to find people who you can't find some kind of track somewhere that says at one point they believe this or believe that. I mean, that's almost impossible in today's world with social media and all the stuff that people post out there. But I can bet you can find people to be nonpartisan in this group who are going to be less partisan than the current leadership that we have in the state of Wisconsin.
That's Ellen France from the League of Women Voters here with us today to talk about local perspectives on Wisconsin's legislative districts. She's joined by Maureen Friedland from the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors and Bill Feehan from the 3rd Congressional District Republican Party. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Bill, I want to give you the opportunity to share your thoughts on, do you feel like the last redistricting process was different than what we've seen in previous redistricting processes?
Not substantially. I mean, the difference is that Republicans controlled the governorship and both houses of the state legislature. So that does give an advantage to the party in power when they're drawing the lines. I just disagree with this notion that there are these nonpartisan people out there. And I'll give you an excellent example. We have a Supreme Court justice that will be elected in April. And does anybody seriously contend that they don't know which party is supporting which candidate? Nonpartisanship is an illusion. And so whatever process you choose to take, and I've studied what they've done in Iowa, you still have people who are partisans who are elected to appoint these positions. And when we look back at the Government Accountability Board in its history, in its extreme partisanship, Dan Kopanky, when he ran for Congress, was tarred and feathered and then magically cleared of any wrongdoing after the loss of the election. Partisanship is the nature of our political process. And, you know, ultimately, I think I've demonstrated in the facts that the drawing of the lines ultimately doesn't make the difference. What makes the difference is the quality of the candidate and the policies of the political party that are being pursued. Otherwise, you can't explain how Steve Doyle can get 1,000 more votes than Donald Trump did when Donald Trump won the 94th Assembly District with 52% of the vote. You can't explain how Lauren Oldenburg was just elected to the state assembly in a district that was overwhelmingly carried by a Democrat governor. Likewise, Todd Novak and Travis Tranel to the south. Those areas were carried by the Democrat governor, and yet they were carried by Republicans in the state legislature. So ultimately, who gets elected depends more on the quality of the candidate and the policies that they represent. So I just think that I'm surprised.
But Bill, I just want to follow up. Do you feel like nonpartisanship has never existed? You know, for instance, you were on the county board, which is supposed to be a nonpartisan position, right?
It's extremely partisan, okay? And I'm not going to go into all the details about this, but at one time we'd posted all of the political connections of all the people in our county government. And they're overwhelmingly Democrat Party connections. You know, the current county chair ran as a Democrat candidate for state senate on two different occasions. I could go through the whole thing. And I will tell you, because I've been the head of the Republican Party here, I've made phone calls recruiting candidates to run for county board. And I can tell you that the local unions, the city, county, and state unions are very involved in these elections. The teachers' unions, K through 12, college professors, these are all state employees, government employees, people that get paychecks from the government. And they overwhelmingly represent us in county government. There is in no way does our county government's proportion of voters between liberal and conservative match up the actual voting numbers in the county. Our county government is overwhelmingly controlled by the Democrats.
Maureen, I'll give you the opportunity to respond.
Okay. County government, we're concerned about nursing homes, we're concerned about jail conditions, we're concerned about children who need foster care, we're concerned about veterans benefits. We have the local issues that affect people, and we do them, and we go at those in ways that are for the benefit of the people. We fix roads. We dispose of garbage. Those are all nonpartisan issues, and we go about that in a nonpartisan way. We have a strong committee structure where we look at issues, we work out issues, and then we bring them to the board. There's really no place here for politics, and we are not engaged in politics. And that's the way the board has been on the 15 years that I've been on it, and I'm very proud of working in a nonpartisan way. And I will go back to the two unanimous resolutions that we had on gerrymandering, where the people who were more conservative were equally as supportive of those resolutions as the people who, as Bill calls them, are more liberal. So let's just take care of that one there. But going back to the gerrymandering issues, this isn't a matter of personality. There are some districts where people are more well-known than others, where people work harder on elections than other people do, but we basically have a structure that's built for the incumbents that the lines were drawn for incumbents. Well, let's look at the congressional districts. We have in Ron Kind's favor. He has a district that's rather built in a Y shape. It has more Democrats in it. We have Nancy Vandermeer's district, a Republican that looks like a slinky. It's not as one would expect it to be. Or Peter Barca had what his old district was more of a swoosh. The voters are gathered so that the right voters can vote for people. And we just don't have competitive races. In 2018, it was considered less than 10% of the races being competitive, and no congressional elections were competitive. 48 of the 72 districts have been divided to protect the incumbents, and the number of Republicans who 45% of the statewide assembly votes yielded two-thirds of the assembly seats. So that's not a matter of personality. That's a matter of where the lines are and where the voters have been gathered.
Can I just respond quickly to that?
Very quickly.
Very quickly. This has to do with concentration of Democrat voters in urban centers. So the only way that you could appreciably increase the number of Democrat-controlled seats is to cut the cities into pie shapes. And as I mentioned earlier, that would be a violation of the Voting Rights Act because you'd be separating minority communities. So there have to be minority voting districts.
No.
So when you have all the Democrats concentrated into Milwaukee County, Dane County, La Crosse County, some of these larger counties, the only way you're going to really be able to change that, because you have most of these areas are experiencing over 80, sometimes close to 90% Democrat vote turnout. That's how the Democrats can have a higher number of votes statewide and lose overwhelmingly in the number of districts.
Ellen, what are your thoughts on this issue very briefly before we go to break?
My thoughts, frankly, are it's a mess. And if reasonable people can't agree what's right or wrong about how the numbers, how people are stacked and cracked into different districts by this guy in Oklahoma, as it turns out, then let's set up a different way of doing it. A nonpartisan group can be savvy enough to, and they would have to consider any federal law about the Voter Rights Act and minority voters, and it works in other states. We don't have litigation. They don't have litigation like we have litigation. They don't spend $3.5 million after the fact to litigate whether this is right or wrong. Let's get out of that trap. Let's get back to just doing it in a fairer way. That would be my major point.
Ellen France, board member for the local chapter of the League of Women Voters, is here with us today to talk about an advisory referendum on the April 2nd ballot in La Crosse and Vernon counties. She's joined by Bill Feehan from the 3rd Congressional District Republican Party and Maureen Friedland from the La Crosse County Board. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the pros and cons of a nonpartisan redistricting method. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Since Wisconsin lawmakers redrew the state's legislative districts in 2011, there's been ongoing legal challenges over the district map. Democratic Governor Tony Evers has proposed giving the state's redistricting authority to a nonpartisan agency and included the idea in his state budget proposal. Voters in La Crosse County and Vernon County will have the chance to weigh in on this idea during this year's spring election. Joining us today to talk about the advisory referendum on the April 2nd ballot are Ellen Franz, board member for the local chapter of the League of Women Voters, Maureen Friedland, member of the La Crosse County Board, and Bill Feehan, former La Crosse County board member and chair of the 3rd Congressional District Republican Party. I want to return to this idea of achieving nonpartisanship and whether it's possible. Bill, you brought up in the first half that, you know, you don't feel that nonpartisanship is achievable. And I wonder, Ellen, if you could talk a little bit about, you know, how we achieve nonpartisanship.
Well, I differ with Bill in the sense that I think if to be nonpartisan, it doesn't mean you don't have personal opinions one way or the other, because we all do. But when you're in a role that is nonpartisan, it means you put aside those personal feelings and do the best for whatever task you're assigned to do. So when Maureen talks about potholes or nursing homes, care for the elderly, those things aren't usually, you know, a left or right issue. And the county board or anybody else considering those kinds of issues is to do it, it would do it in a nonpartisan way. So that's what it means to me. I can't probably convince everybody that all of us can be completely divorced from our personal beliefs. But I think when you're running for judge or whatever you're doing, your job is to, in that situation, to look at the facts and the evidence and make a decision in a nonpartisan way, putting your whatever kind of baggage or personal beliefs or political feelings you have aside and making the decision. And we expect that all the time of people in government, people in our courts. And I think in large part, people are successful at doing that. Maybe I'm an optimist, but that's how I see being nonpartisan.
So I want to take a look at Iowa, which is a state that's our neighbor and also a state that has a nonpartisan redistricting process. And Ellen, I wonder if you could just kind of briefly explain like how that process works in Iowa, just very briefly.
It will be brief. and I want to let the audience know that the question that they're addressing on Fair Maps referendum is, should the Wisconsin legislature create a nonpartisan procedure for preparing legislative and congressional redistricting plans? It doesn't say anything about how they're going to do it, whether it's going to be the Iowa plan or a modified Iowa plan or maybe something better that could be created. As I understand the Iowa plan, they have a group of individuals who are already employed in government. They're kind of akin to what we have in our Legislative Reference Bureau in Madison. And they're the folks that when somebody wants to create a bill, they send it to those folks to kind of vet the language and to figure out where it meshes or doesn't mesh with other statutory language. And so though probably folks like those in the Legislative Reference Bureau would be part of this panel. And as I understand it, in Iowa, they have to hold public hearings. They do a map, and it's given to the presented at public hearings. The legislature in Iowa can vote up or down. If it's down, it goes back, and they redraw it again. I think there are two or three times that happens before it goes to a different process. They are also, I'm afraid I'm going to get this wrong because I didn't look at it, I apologize, but they are also not able to take into consideration many of the things, unfortunately, that are considered in Wisconsin, not to look at political voters when drawing the map, you know, how they voted Republican or Democrat or independent. So they're given guidance about what they should consider and what they shouldn't consider. And I don't know how or if our legislator will consider putting together a nonpartisan type plan. But there are models out there for them to use in trying to do something that gives this group structure about what's legit and what isn't legit to consider, and making sure that they have a process that allows public input and full disclosure as they travel through that process. I know I heard the panel you were on with the Economic Forum, so I'm trying to remember what the Iowa representative told us about. I don't think it's ever been challenged in court, and they may have had two times that they've had to actually go back, maybe three times, to have them draw the map. That's my recollection. Now, you may have a better memory than I do, Bill, but it's very successful. It works. And it would be really nice for Wisconsin to have something that works, doesn't create litigation, gets voter involvement, more people participate, different from what we have now.
Maureen, I wonder what your thoughts are on how Iowa approaches this nonpartisan redistricting, and if this is kind of what you foresee could work in Wisconsin.
Yes, well, I'd like to get away from the overt partisanship in this, the notion that you win an election, so you get to make the decisions after that, and the idea that the winner takes all and the winner draws the maps without a lot of public input and without a lot of discussion in a fair way is just not any place where we need to be. The tide has really turned. We have citizen movements around the entire country where people are ready for change. The Iowa model is one way of doing it. In other places, there are more political boards, but they are more publicly done. There's other models that can be used, but what we have isn't working now. We need to fix gerrymandering, and it really is an issue that the Democrats and the Republicans ought to be able to come together on. I want to go back for just a minute on the idea that the Democratic voters are concentrated in certain cities and certain areas, and so even though there were more voters there, that left the rest of the state up for the Republicans. It just really doesn't work like that. You can have compact districts that look okay on paper, but when the intent is clearly partisan, then equal protection is violated. And the 14th Amendment doesn't require that all voters who may look alike or live together in the same neighborhood are to be compacted into one district. We've got Democratic voters throughout the entire state, and there's other ways of drawing the lines. The way this was done, even in Milwaukee County, there was an effort to figure out exactly how many voters would take to elect Republicans and where to put them. So the idea that all of the Democratic voters are in certain bigger areas, and that's what led to the result, is just not accurate. We just need to have a better way. Just like the maps after 2011 pretty much cemented one-party control of the assembly for a decade, no matter what the voters chose after that, then what happens at the next election is going to control a decade also. So this is a very important referendum item for us, and the right to vote is precious, and fair maps are everything, and not being overtly partisan, coming together in a nonpartisan way is simply something that we have to do.
I want to return to the Iowa method and hear your thoughts on how Iowa handles this nonpartisan redistricting process, Bill.
So the people that choose these nonpartisans to participate on this board are partisans. They're Republicans and Democrats. And so whatever model you're looking at, you're talking about that board being formed by people who've been elected who are partisans. And of course, they're going to put somebody on that board that they think is going to be more amenable to their viewpoint on things. So I just think the whole idea that this is going to be done by some nonpartisan board that doesn't have any political motivations is wrong. We can disagree about that. People have heard the arguments. But I think the best argument in all of this is that when we look at any political map of Wisconsin today, what we see is that Republicans are carrying an overwhelming number of the counties in the state. Trump carried 59 out of 72. Walker carried 54 out of 72. To suggest that somehow Republicans hold these majorities because of the way the lines have drawn just doesn't add up. And, you know, in our earlier segment, I talked about, you know, how if we look at the counties just south of La Crosse, those were all carried by Tony Evers. And yet they elected three Republican assemblymen there, and they elected a Republican state senator. So I just don't see that how the lines are drawn is really what's making the difference. I think it has more to do with changing voter trends in Wisconsin. I mentioned earlier how the 92nd Assembly District just north of La Crosse County and the 24th State Senate District had been held by Democrats for 40 years. Now, those were elected Republicans after we drew the maps. So, I mean, you know, it'd been 40 years. Is anybody seriously suggesting that where the lines were drawn is the reason that those seats finally switched? The notion of nonpartisanship to me is an illusion. And, you know, it reminds me of the saying about, democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others. Sometimes it gets a little bit sloppy, but in the final analysis, it's the best system we can devise. And the way that maps are drawn today is a political process. But it's a process that's conducted by the people that are elected by the people of Wisconsin. It's not a process that's conducted by a panel that's been appointed that's not accountable to voters.
Ellen.
Well, I would just like to ask Bill that if, does he really believe that the process that was used by our legislature in terms of the secrecy, the quickness, the turnaround, that that's good government?
Yeah, I would say that Republicans did exactly what they should have done. And I would say that Democrats would have done the exact same thing if the coin had been flipped. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, this issue has been around for a very long time. And as most people know, Democrats have controlled our state legislature for most of, you know, the last 50 years. They never chose to pursue nonpartisan redistricting at any of the times where they controlled state government. And incidentally, when I mentioned earlier the notion that they would have to cut cities into pieces of a pie to appreciably change the number of seats in the legislature, that was an actual proposal. I believe it was in the year around the year 2000 when Democrats drew the maps that was rejected by the courts. So that there is a clear process here. It's governed by the law. You can't separate minority voting communities. The lines, they have to be contiguous. In the end, I think this has more to do with delegitimizing the Republican majorities in our state legislature than it has to do with making a difference in the way people get elected.
I just want to ask Ellen, regardless of how this vote turns out, how the referendum turns out on how people feel about pursuing a nonpartisan redistricting process, do you think the legislature is likely to listen?
I think it is likely not to listen, unfortunately, because the power right now in the Assembly and Senate is Republican majorities. We have a sitting governor that is of the other party. So the outcome this time is likely to be the Republicans draw their lines. I suspect it's not going to be behind closed doors in a secret and the way they did the last time, because that really wasn't successful, I don't think, in terms of what people thought of the process. But we're going to have a governor who's likely going to veto it, right? And so that, unless they can work together and draw something that works for both sides, we're going to end up having the federal court decide it. That's not necessarily good either. The legislators that were elected to do this job aren't doing this job in a way that serves the state of Wisconsin when it has to be redrawn and fixed by the court. And I don't disagree with Bill when he talks about this happens when the Republicans are, or excuse me, Democrats are in power as well. Yes, it does. That's why it's got to change. We don't want to see a system that every 10 years or every 20 years, because majority party flips, that we're doing something as kind of, I'm just kind of say, nutty and in secret that happened the last time around. We don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. And I hope people who are listening decide they don't want to be there in the future. It doesn't matter who it is. It has to be fixed.
Ellen Franz, board member for the local chapter of the League of Women Voters. Bill Feehan, former La Crosse County board member and chair of the 3rd Congressional District Republican Party. And Maureen Friedland, member of the La Crosse County Board, joined us today to talk about an advisory referendum on the April 2nd ballot, asking voters whether they're in favor of a nonpartisan redistricting process. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.